Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Haunting Masters, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Before we jump into this next episode, I want to tell you a little bit about what we got going on. If you've ever wanted to go hunting with me or the Days in the Wild crew, we are doing a raffle for a 5-day fully outfitted archery hunt. We're actually giving two of those away. It's a $40 entry. But there's only 100 entries sold. So you got a 1 in 100 chance of winning. So it's a really, really good chance to go hunting here in Arizona during the rut on archery hunt. You could actually opt to, if you have a rifle tag, it's past the draw date now, but if you have a rifle tag, you can actually opt for us to take you on the rifle hunt as well. Like I said, 1 in 100 chance. You go to my blog at johnstallone.me, and there will be a raffle section. Just go to the raffle section and purchase your ticket there. We will also be giving away a handful, I think 4 or 5, I don't remember now, but one-day coyote hunts or predator hunts. Those are it's a $400 value. We charge $400 to guide for guided-only predator hunts 1 day. And those are $30, and it's a 1 in 10 chance of winning, which is pretty darn awesome, I think. So 1 in 10 chance of winning, and you can opt to purchase some more days if you want to come out, let's say, for 3-day hunt and get one for free, basically, and purchase some other days. We'll give you a discount. So go to johnstallone.me and check out the raffle. Let's roll into this episode. Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Haunting Masters, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today I'm going to do a little solo mission, something I've never done before. I don't really like talking to myself, but anyhow, I get a lot of questions about what I wear as far as camouflage is concerned. People always asking me their opinion, what my opinion is on what they should be wearing, and you know, what's the best camouflage for this trip and that trip, and what should I bring with me, and so on and so forth. Layering and dressing for the weather is almost like an art form. But before I get into that, I'm going to share something with you that I figured out, which is kind of a interesting subject, or not an interesting subject, but an interesting tidbit. In my opinion, anyway, is I used to wear any old camouflage. I mean, literally, I would didn't match. I'd buy it from Walmart, whatever. I had this pants with that shirt and this pattern with that pattern. And yet I was still very effective. It did not hinder me in any way other than I was pretty uncomfortable most of the time. You know, there was only those very specific situations where I was comfortable in what I was wearing. And I found, you know, back then I was younger, I was full of piss and vinegar, and so it wasn't, I was a little bit more well-suited to, or I was better suited, rather, to endure that uncomfortable. And as I'm getting older, I don't like to be uncomfortable. But I also figured this out, too, somewhere along the line, that when I was dressed all matchy-matchy, when I was wearing nice stuff, just like, you know, when I went out, you know, out on the town or whatever, and when I was dressed nice, I felt good about myself, and that translated into good things happening. I mean, same thing happens in hunting. When I feel good about myself, and that too translates. I feel like when I go to put on, I'm partners with Sitka. So when I put on my Sitka, a Sitka system on, gear on, I feel like I'm putting on a suit of armor, and I'm going to battle, you know, and then you feel better about yourself. And I always feel that when I feel better about myself, I perform better. But let's get to these. I had a bunch of questions asking me, like, you know, what I wear, and so on and so forth. I wrote a couple of articles. I wrote an article on layering camo that's really good. I'm going to actually attach it to the show notes, and you can go and read it, or you could go find it on my blog. It's called Layering Camo and Dressing for the Occasion. I also wrote another one in there that's just it's just titled Sitka Camouflage. It has some of the things that I wear in it, and so on and so forth. Anyway, so I've made myself a chart, and it's included in that article that I wrote, but I'll also attach it to the show notes here. And I try to break it down by activity level and by weather conditions and so on and so forth. And basically, so a spot and stalk hunt, you know, I look at the ways that I'm going to be hunting. Am I a spot and stalk? And am I going to be ambush hunting? Am I going to be still hunting? Am I going to be, sitting in a ground blind or a tree stand? And my chart basically spot and stalk hunts, and the other one, and it's broken down in spot and stalk hunts and tree stand hunting or stand hunting. One, because I don't typically still hunt anymore because I've never been very effective at it. Spot and stalk, or if I ambush, it's more of a spot and ambush. So the activity level is very, very similar. So just give you a breakdown. Like, so a spot and stalk is what I consider a high level or high activity, or periods of high activity and periods of no activity at all. So it's probably the hardest to gear yourself up for, because your activity level is always changing. You know, like here in January in Arizona during our spot and stalk hunts, in the morning I'm going to hike up to a point. So I'm doing a lot of activity at the coldest part of the day, and I'm getting to a point, and then I'm going to sit. And sometimes I'm sitting a little while, even before the light gets up, before I even start glassing. But then the glassing begins, and who knows, I can find something right away, or it could take me a couple hours before I find something that I want to go after. So you have long periods of sitting and waiting, and if you're glassing like I glass, I sit on the ground, and I'm wearing I'm sitting on my Phoenix shooting bags pad, but I'm sitting with my legs crossed, so your legs are starting to get, you know, the blood flow is not the same, so you're going to be colder. You know, you're sitting there cold, and you, if you're on a point, you might be exposed to the wind, and so on and so forth. So, it poses a lot of challenges when you hunt this way, even in the early season. So, my chart breaks it down by spot and stalk hunting and by sitting in tree stand, like I said. So the way I always do everything in layers. So Sick is one of my partners, as I mentioned, and you know, they make very specific pieces of clothing that are very specific to that, that temperature or that weather condition, so on and so forth. And I own a crap ton of Sitka stuff. I own probably 40-50% of the models that they make, or types that they make rather. And, but I don't have everything, but I've tried a lot of it. And I've come down to these. And the reason why I do that is that, like I said, I like to layer. I'm a layering guy. I'm going to start with my early season hunts. There's not much in the way of layering, especially, if I'm hunting here in the desert, whatever, we're talking 110 degree weather or whatever. My early season hunts, I start with the Apex pants, and the Apex pants stay with me from, I'm going to say, like 60 degrees, 55 degrees and up. Okay. So 55 degrees and warmer, I'm wearing the Apex pants. And what changes is how I layer it. So once I start dipping below 55, I might add my merino-based bottoms underneath there. And the reason that is that if I'm starting the morning off and it's, 49 degrees, 50 degrees, but the temperature during the end of the day is going to be in the 60s, I could start with a merino bottom. And I know it's a pain in the neck to take off bottoms, or base layers, but I can pull that off at some point in the day when I get too hot, but I'm comfortable. Or I could pull that off when I know I got to hike up a mountain or something to that effect. As for the top during this time, again, the same temperature range, I'm usually using my merino, the lightweight merino top. Now, Sitka makes the core lightweight short sleeve and long sleeve, and they make they make an Apex shirt. They make other items that are meant for the early season hunts or early season weather type weather, but I really prefer the lightweight merino. It feels nice on my skin. It, when I am sweating, I don't get that clammy, like sticky feeling. I feel it dries really fast, even though it's a merino, and wool doesn't usually dry fast, but this one dries really, it's so lightweight. It's like, you can almost see through it. And it just feels good. And I feel like my odor control is better when I'm wearing the merino versus, the core lightweight, even though the core lightweight has the polygene in it, or I believe that's what it's called. So for me, lightweight merino, and I'm wearing that. As soon as I start dipping below 60, I'll start carrying my midweight core zip tee. And, in the morning, it's in like 55 degrees, even 60 degrees. Sometimes 60 degrees can feel really, fairly cool, especially if you're, it's summertime and you've been used to, 100 degree weather or whatever. I'm wearing the midweight core zip tee. I'm wearing the lightweight underneath it. And as it warms up through the day, obviously I take off the midweight core. And once I start getting closer to that 50 degrees where it's going, the mean temperature of the day is going to be around 50 degrees, I actually switch from the lightweight merino to a regular merino. They're regular weight merino. It's a heavier weight. And yeah, I do the same thing. I carry the midweight core as well. I'll start the early part of the morning, and as the day goes by, I might shed that. I might keep that on depending on what the swing is in the temperature. We start getting to the 40 to 50 degree range. Still wearing the merino base layer top. Now I might add the merino base layer bottom, or I switch to from the Apex pant to the Timberland pant. And again, I'll look at it like this. So if I'm looking at the weather and my low is, in the 40s, but my high is in the 60s, I typically go with the mid, I go with the Apex pant and merino bottoms. That way, as it heats up, I could pull off one of the layer and have a lighter setup. And as it cools back down for the rest of the day, I could put it back in if I need to. If it's gonna stay around, it's gonna be 40 to 50 degrees all day long, I typically will go with the Timberland pants and stay there. Once I start getting really closer where the day is more 40 degrees and starting to head south of 40, I add the merino base layer with the Timberland pants. Again, same scenario. I can adjust if I need to, but I start off with enough warmth. If I start my activity level goes up a bunch, I can always lose something. Now in that 40 to 50, I also add in, I start carrying a mountain vest for wind, and I start carrying my Jetstream jacket. When I'm sitting there glassing, when I'm hiking up to the point. So like in the morning, if I hike up in the morning, I'm usually literally, I shed everything. And this doesn't matter what time of the year it is. It could be 20 degrees outside. If I know I got a really brutal hike to get up to where I'm going to glass from, I usually only hike in with the one layer. If that's the lightweight merino or if it's the regular merino, whatever, I hike in with just that. And at first I'm cold, but my body starts generating a bunch of heat. Now I don't do that with the bottoms. I leave the bottoms of whatever I'm going to be. I try to, I try to think about the day. If I'm only going to be cold in the morning or whatever, I try to think about whether or not I want to be shedding. So anyway, going back to what I was saying, when I'm hiking in, I'm only with the merino top, and that's because I don't want to sweat a bunch with all this heavy clothing on, then go sit down and freeze my butt off. I get to my glassing point. I usually sit there for like 10 or 15 minutes, sometimes even longer. And as I start to get cold and the whatever sweat I did is evaporating off, I start adding layers back on one at a time until I get to the point that I'm comfortable. So now we're at the, like I said, 30 to 40. I start carrying different things with me. I carry my Kelvin Light hoodie now at this point, when I'm in the, anywhere between 30 to 40 degrees. I change my base layer. Excuse me. I leave my merino base layer. I add the merino base layer bottoms at this point. I've now changed from my midweight core zip tee to the heavyweight core, excuse me, the heavyweight hoodie top. Again, wearing the Timberland pants. I'm carrying the Kelvin Light hoodie with me. I'll put that on when I'm sitting and during times of downtime and whatnot. And I'm carrying the mountain vest to break wind. 20 to 30. Now I start really like layering things. I'm got merino base layers on tops and bottom. I got the heavyweight hoodie top. Still wearing a Timberland pants, Kelvin hoodie, and this point sometimes I start using the Jetstream. Also, I'll put the Jetstream on top of my Kelvin Light hoodie, and use that as one. I use the Kelvin Light hoodie as a mid layer now, as opposed to the outer shell. I find this really works with cold and windy situations. It's super comfortable, and again, I don't lose mobility, and it's easy to shed layers throughout the day with my activity level and with the swing in the temperature. When I start getting to that brutal cold, I've added the heavyweight bottoms now. I'm still wearing the merino top, merino bottom, but I add the heavyweight bottoms on top of that. I add the heavyweight hoodie on top of that. And I switch from the Kelvin Light hoodie to the Kelvin Down WS, which has Windstop in it. I'm still carrying my mountain vest. I don't necessarily wear it at all points of the day, but I carry it. It's one of those things I carry a lot because it's featherweight and it fits and takes up no space in your pack at all. Again, now I still have the Jetstream, but now the Jetstream usually becomes my midweight. I swap it. And depending on the amount of hiking and activity, I sometimes will trade my heavyweight hoodie for the Traverse heavyweight hoodie, and that seems to do the trick. Now if I'm stand hunting, things are a little different. You're not dealing with the having to remove things and add things, so you can look at things a little bit different. I'm not going to get into that those systems right now, but that is part of my chart. You'll be able to look at that. The one thing I will say is, again, when I'm hiking in and I'm going to go sit a stand or sit in a blind, I will remove whatever top layers I have, all my heavy stuff. I will carry that in, and I will add the layers back in once I've gotten into my stand. Because, I mean, just a 50-yard walk across, you know, a field or something, and then climbing up into a tree stand when you're wearing a bunch of stuff gets you really sweaty. Now we're talking about scent control, and two, you know, when you're sweaty like that, you get colder a lot faster. When you're sitting still and you need to be able to sit still all that time, you don't want to be cold. That's the last thing you want to do. Let's talk a little bit about like gloves and stuff like that. My go-to glove is the mountain glove. I probably use that more than anything. I use the Ascent gloves in the early season. You know, when I'm, you know, in the 50 degree range, somewhere around there, 50 to 60s, I'll wear that Ascent glove, and it's not necessarily just to keep my hands warm a little bit, but I feel like it protects my hands a little bit. One, especially with a little bit of wind or whatever. But my go-to from the low 50s all the way up, well, I don't wear in the low 50s. Below 50 degrees, I'll start wearing the mountain glove. Once I start nearing the 20s, I usually switch to the GTX glove. And if I have any, the other thing is when I have a little bit of rain, it's misting or drizzling, I'll use the GTX also because those are waterproof. But when it's really nasty and I'm dealing with snow, Stuff like that. I typically will use my Stormfront glove. But they're big, they're bulky, they're hard. You need to learn, even with the Mountain glove, you got a lot of, even though you got a lot of dexterity with them, the GTX has a lot of, mobility with that glove also. It takes some practice. You're going to have, especially if you're bow hunting, I go out and practice with these things. Yeah, you have to be wearing them. You have to wear. It's a good practice if, with all these layers on and stuff like that for you to get out and actually shoot with those layers on. It changes your mechanics, changes the way you do things. Especially tree stand hunting, you're wearing a big bulky jacket and all this stuff, and now you're dealing with angles that you haven't really practiced. So definitely practice those things. Boots. I've been at boots. It's not something I really like to suggest to people because that is such a specific to your foot type and the way you walk and everything. I do use, I'll tell you what I use, and you can look into them and try them out and see if you like them. But I am a big fan of Mammut. They've been around for a long time, making mountaineering type stuff. I wear the most, my go-to boot is the Trovat GTX Advanced. I wear those the most. They're borderline mountaineering boot. I also have the GTX Guides, which are a mountain boot, or a mountaineering boot rather. But I don't wear them as much. I only wear those when I know I'm got a really rocky terrain, and the bottoms of my feet are going to get beat up. Otherwise, I prefer the more nimble GTX Advanced. They're a leather upper. The guide has a full leather, excuse me, a full rubber rind, but these, the Advance do not. They got a heavy one on the toe and on the heel, but on the sides they do not. I've had nothing but good luck with them. They're a good boot. But let's talk about socks a little bit. I actually wrote an article on my blog about the this, and I did a review actually about socks, and I keep coming back. I've tried socks that literally that I paid $50 plus dollars for a pair, and I keep coming back to these Adidas. Yeah, Adidas, not a hunting company, but a soccer, soccer and sports, other sports company. Their ClimaFit traction, the ClimaFit series is from their soccer socks is what they came out with, and they make a ClimaLite, and then they also make the ClimaFit traction, which is designed for hiking. It fits, it grabs you in the right places. Has support in the arch, and the blend of material. I don't know, if it's just a combination of. There's nothing special about it, like, but the blend of material for some reason with my foot, I don't sweat as bad when it's hot, and when it's cold outside, my feet tend to be. I tend to be happy. Until, we dip below 30. Once we dip below 30, I don't wear insulated boots. If I'm doing a lot of hiking, I'm okay. But if there's a lot of sitting still, my feet are gonna get cold. And right now, I just deal with it because I, like I said, I don't have a insulated boot that I like. I own a pair of Loas that are insulated, but I don't love them. I have a hard time hiking in them and being comfortable. So I'm still suffering when it comes to sub 30, 20s and single digit stuff. I'm still looking for a solution to that. But up until that point, those socks for me have been great. I did, like I said, I did a hunting sock review in 2017. I think if you just put in hunting sock review on my blog, you'll be able to find that. I talk about those socks in there. I talk about a bunch of different popular brands, Smart Wools and Bridgedales and Kuyu and and I rate them all. I've tried them all, like I said. And for me, they work really good. Check them out. You could buy them for like $20 or something like that. For like a pack of three, or they're like $7 a pair or something like that. It's super cheap, and they work really good and they stay put. That was the other thing that I didn't mention. I don't constantly have to adjust them. They stay put, which is important to me. What else? I should have had these questions in front of me, but I don't. Hats. Somebody asked me about beanies. I do carry the Sika beanie with me, but I don't wear it frequently. I'm kind of a big on those radar hats, my little signature hat there, because I like to have a brim. So when I'm not wearing a baseball cap, when it get cap and it gets cold enough that I need more warmth on my head, I wear one of those radar hats. I buy those on Amazon. But I always carry a beanie, the Sika beanie, because they have windstop in them. And a lot of times I'll do is I will put the beanie on underneath and then put the radar cap over it. excuse me. I use the I'm trying to think what's the name of a beanie that I use. The Jetstream. Yeah, I think it's the Jetstream beanie. It's nice, super lightweight, doesn't take up any room. It's nice to keep in the pack. And honestly, I want to try. I haven't tried it yet, but I want to try the Incinerator GTX hat, even though it looks like an Elmer Fudd hat. It's because it is a beanie with a brim on it, and that's like my style. I like having a little bit of a brim. I like having the ability to keep sun out of my eyes and stuff, and still keep my ears warm, I know that Sika also has the Jetstream hat, which is basically the same thing, same style. But it's not as warm, I believe. Gaiters. I am a huge fan of the Ascent Gaiter. I wear them all year long. Mainly because I wear a three-quarter high boot, and I like to keep crap out of my socks. When I sit down, when I glass, I'm sitting crisscross applesauce or Indian style, whatever way you want to call it. Crap is always getting into my socks. When I'm going through thick, tall grass, those little stickers and crap get in my socks, and that drives me batshit. So I wear those Ascent, excuse me, yes, the Ascent Gaiters, all the time. I think they're like the greatest thing they ever made. I do also wear the GTX Gaiters, like in extreme weather, snow, and but honestly, even those little Ascent Gaiters, even in the snow, as long as we're not talking about, plus 2-3 feet, whatever, are really good. They're somewhat waterproof. They keep your boots drier. They're tiny in a sense where they don't come up your calf and whatever. So they're just basically around your ankles, keeping your pants, the bottoms of your pants, sealed. I also like them in areas where there's a lot of ticks and stuff, because the ticks can't get in. It's really sealed tight there. I spray them down with the Sawyer, and it works wonders. I think I hit on everything on the questions that I got. If you guys have more questions on gear specifically, if you want my help, if you want to buy some Sitka stuff and want my help in selecting items, the guys on the customer service line are awesome. They're super knowledgeable. All those guys hunt, and they can offer you. But if you need, you prefer my assistance, feel free to contact me on the blog, shoot me an email, or hit me up on Instagram or Facebook, and I'd be more than happy to, steer you in the right direction. Like I said, I've pretty much tried everything. I'm one of those guys that buy something, I run it for, run it for a season. If I don't like it, it's being sold on eBay or whatever, and I'm moving to the things that I do like. I actually cleaned house last year. I got rid of all the pieces that I really didn't use a bunch, or the things that I didn't really love, and I basically got everything that I love right now. So you got questions, hit me up. I hope I answered and helped a few people out and give you some useful information. Thanks, and the next episode will be out on Monday. Hey guys, want to stay connected with the podcast? Check out my blog, johnstallone.me. That's www.johnstallone.me. And you could go on there. On the top right-hand corner, there's a little subscribe box. Quickly put in an email address, hit subscribe, and boom, you're done. There's a lot of great information on there, a lot of posts that go hand-in-hand with the podcast that we do, plus gear reviews, plus we have the signature T-shirts on there, the I Eat Fast Food T-shirts, and the Tuesday Coosday shirts. It's a really good way to stay connected with the podcast. And thanks for listening.